Good morning. It's good to see everyone. It's good to be here with you in this new year of 2022. So long, 2021. Glad to see you go. Let's see what 2022 is about. So far, it's been kind of tough. Sickness in our house again. Getting kind of tired of that. But other than that, all good. We'll see how that goes. I can get this mic turned on. There we go. Can you hear me now? Good. Remember that commercial? No? I've dated myself. Am I old enough to be able to say stuff like that? I've dated myself. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about resolutions for the new year as we do every year. And it's really a similar lesson that I've done for the past, I don't know, I guess 6 years since I've been preaching with a couple different twists here and there. I thought about just doing maybe a prayer service for the game tomorrow, but since we have split interests in the congregation, I thought that that might not be the best. But I don't know what we'll maybe later tonight, or I don't know. We'll see. I'm just kidding. We weren't going to do that. But as the new year begins, I am reminded of several facts. I've thought about these things over and over and over, and I think about them every year around the same time, and usually even during the year. But definitely at the beginning of the year, I think about the fact that we are literally 1 year closer to the day of reckoning, the day in which we will stand before the Lord and either hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or we will hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." And Lord willing, we know which one we would rather hear. We want to hear, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from since the foundation of the world," in Matthew 25 and verse 34. That's what we want to hear. But we are 1 year closer to that time, whenever that time is. I thought Brett did a really good job just a little over a week ago about talking about how there are lots of firsts of things, but there will also be a first end, if you like. There will be an end. There will be one day where things will end, and it'll be the first time that things will end for us and the only time that things will end for us. So a lot of times around this time of year, or let's even just say in particular a week ago or 10 days ago or so, you really start to think about those things. You really start to put your life into perspective. And you start to think about the things that you have done. And definitely after studying Ecclesiastes, hopefully you've thought a lot about the things that you've done and putting your life into perspective. Because pretty much Ecclesiastes makes you do that. It makes you think about, well, have I actually done anything? I know I've woken up every day. And I've done many things. We've done so many tasks. We feel like we're constantly doing things. But have you actually done anything? I think about it that way. Have I actually done anything of note? Anything noteworthy? Some people think about it as, you know, when they're at their, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, I want some people phrase it in the way that I want people to remember me when I'm gone. Fair enough, but what do you want them to remember? Do you want them to remember that you were a Georgia fan or a soccer coach, or you know, what do you want them to remember? All of these thoughts start to come around this time of year, and they should, because we're closer to our final destination, and as was pointed out this morning in class by Josh, the things that we're doing now will dictate what that final destination is. So I want to use this brief time, and it's a short lesson, but I want to use whatever time we have to provoke your thinking about a little bit about the past year, but definitely more so about the year to come as to what we are doing, what we are really doing, what we should be doing, and to suggest some ideas of things that we could be doing to help us. But we're going to ask three main questions this morning about the past and about the present and future. As it relates to this past year, has your relationship with God improved? Or simply put, have you drawn closer to God, or have you drifted further to God? I do not believe that this is a complicated question to answer. It certainly is not for me. And most of us have feelings. We all have feelings, and those feelings can help us maybe navigate somewhat to whether we feel closer to God or further from God. But really, our feelings are often, they should often be grounded in facts, in actions, if you like. How have you done in coming closer to God? Has your communication improved with God? When I think about getting closer, let's just say to my wife, when I think about growing closer to Sarah, communication is probably the first thing and really the main thing that comes to mind. The more and I, Sarah, communicate, the closer I can see our bond become and the strength of our bond. We might communicate something, and even whether it's something simple or something very difficult. And after communicating those things, and I realize afterward how blessed I am and how thankful I am to be married to her. And I can feel that strength. And I think that there's no different with anybody. I can say the same with any of you. My relationships with you are usually dictated by how much we communicate. So certainly our relationship with God then is dictated by how much we communicate. One way of communication, listening. How faithful have we been in listening to the Word of God? Yes, to be here, to listen to sermons. Yes, to read the Bible, to listen to His Word yourself. If we've not been steadfast in reading the Bible, can we honestly say that we've spent the last year growing closer to God? And I think that's an easy one to answer for the most part. I think if we've not been steadfast, I think it's really difficult to grow closer to God. Has your degree of prayerfulness increased or decreased? Do you pray more often this year than you did last year? And a lot of people say, well, Safe, how can I know whether I've actually read more this year or prayed more this year? It's actually really easy to know. If you have a schedule, so if you have a calendar, let's just use a calendar, and you have dates on your calendar for when you're going to study and what time you're going to read that particular chapter of that particular book, and you read it and you cross it off with a green check, and the days that you don't do it, you don't cross anything off. And at the end of the year, you look at the calendar and you count how many times you crossed it off, and then you compare that to the year before, you will know whether you read more or not. It's actually really, really, really simple. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. I'm going to just wager that everybody here has a calendar. Maybe not, you know, a proper calendar, but maybe a digital calendar. I know you have a digital calendar if you have a phone. These things can be done. Has our relationship with the brethren improved? Our second question. So our relationship with God, what about the brethren? What about the brethren? Has our love for one another increased? Are we any closer than we were a year ago? Again, I think a question that certainly I can answer. I definitely feel closer to all of you over this past year. And it's weird because this past year is kind of, and the year before, it seems like the last 2 years have been trying to pull us apart. We've not been able to spend as much time together in person over the past year, year and a half. We've not been able to visit with each other in our homes over the last year, year and a half. So it seems like the world is trying to drive a wedge in that, and yet I actually feel closer to all of you. And simply because of communication, and even little communication. It's amazing how communication works. But we have to ask ourselves that question. Do we know who the brethren are? Are we making an effort to speak to the brethren, even if it's something small and simple, even if it's a text message, even if it's a exchange of 10 words before they walk out the door? If it's someone you've not spoken to before, that's 10 more words than you've spoken with before. It's just math. And our third question, has our relationship with those in the world improved? The people that are outside of these walls, that are outside of our homes, the people that we work with, the people that we shop with, the people that we encounter in this world, do you feel like you've grown closer to those people? And in particular, do you feel like you've influenced those people? Do you feel like you have been a light to the people in this world in the past year? Remember, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Without going off into a tangent, you need to have an influence on people if salt helps things taste just a little bit better, then people in this world that we know, that we work with, life should be just a little bit better for them because they know you. And why? Because you are the light of the world. Because you demonstrate a light for Christ. Because you demonstrate a better way to live. And believe me, as you know, certainly, living is what we do. That is what we are here to do, is to live. So there are ways to live. And there are lots of ways not to live. There's only one way to live. And that is in the light. That is for Him. Are you demonstrating that way? Have you demonstrated that way in the last year? I think that one's easy to answer too. I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, I do. I think it is. The questions that I'm asking can be summarized really in another way. Another year is gone. Have we used the time that God has given us? Have we used it well? God has given us time. Have we used it well? Time is a valuable commodity. Ask anyone who's over, I don't know, maybe the age of 30. Because I think that that's probably the age when I turned 30 and then I started to think, okay, where's life going? Where is it gone? It's gone so quick. And then as you continue to go, I think that question continues to be asked and I think you continue to answer that question. It's likely that all of us, and maybe even just a small way, and hopefully just a small way, but it's likely that all of us have, to some degree, maybe not used some parts of the past year and our time the way that we would have liked to. Maybe we could look at the past year and we could go back, and we would go back and we would say, that's probably a moment, or those couple of moments or those few moments might be times where I might have done a little bit differently. I might have used my time a little bit wiser, maybe, let's say. Maybe there's not some huge thing that you're thinking about, but maybe you're thinking about using your time a little bit wiser. It's likely that that's probably the case, but in the spirit of the words of Paul in Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul presses forward. And Paul's a great example because he had a life where he could look back and he could say, the time that I've used, I've not really used it well. Paul used a lot of his life to oppress Christians, certainly to oppose Christianity, but definitely also to oppress Christians, to apprehend Christians. To use his own words. So he has this idea of pressing forward, and that's the idea that we need to have. And that's what we think about when we think about the year ahead, and we think about 2022. What does the year ahead look like? What does that really look like for the Christian? Well, the three things that we talked about is my hope and my prayer. Resolve to draw nearer to God. If you don't have it on your calendar to read, just do it. I mean, just go home and write on your calendar, and you purpose that. Like, you purpose what you want. You want to read a chapter a day? You want to read every other day three chapters? I mean, I don't know. It's really up to you. Maybe you read a lot. But maybe you tend, as most of us do, maybe we tend to read the same things over and over. I really like Romans. Romans is very, very, very interesting to me. Very confusing, and that's why I like it so much. Because it makes me think. Every time I read it, it makes me think again and again and again. So then maybe, you know, I need to read something that maybe that's different, that I've only read maybe once or twice. Maybe I need to read that instead. Maybe you've read everything a million times. Good. Good. Read it again. A million and one. Why not? May as well. Put it on your calendar. Whatever you purpose that you're going to read, when you're going to read, how many chapters you're going to read, just put it on your calendar and keep track. That'll do you a lot of good. It'll do you a lot of good. Same thing with prayer. say if we're supposed to pray without ceasing. I understand. Do most of us pray without ceasing? Yeah, probably. You probably pray a lot. You know, if you almost get hit by a bus, like the first thing that you do after catching your breath is pray. That was close. And if you're going on 75 every day like I am and you're going by semis, yeah, you say prayers all the time. Please, Lord, don't let this semi drift into my lane. Please, Lord, let this person go a little faster so I can get to work on time. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about dedicated time to thank God for the things that you have, like your health, like your family, like your church family, like the Word of God, like a Savior that shows you a path to living that isn't drowned in misery and the nonsense of this world, because that's what it is misery. It's a tremendous time of year to be on social media. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody, there's balloons everywhere, and there's this and there's that everywhere, and all of that is vain, and all of it is so empty. We should thank God for showing us a path that is not empty, and that is incredibly fulfilling. Or else we'd literally be living life in YouTube shorts and 10-second tidbits of happiness and joy. Set that time aside to pray. How else can we draw near to God in this year? What are the things that are holding you back as a Christian? Maybe you're a somewhat of a young man. Maybe you've only got a few gray hairs, and maybe one day you want to be an elder. What is holding you back from studying more about that? Maybe you don't have any gray hairs yet and you want to be a deacon. What is holding you back from preparing yourself that if you were asked to do the job, that you would step up and do it? Maybe you're not a great song leader and you'd like to be. What is holding you back from doing that? What is holding you back from being able to study the gospel with people? What is holding you back from drawing near to God? I don't know what it is. But there is likely something in everyone here that they say there is an area of my life that I just don't go to. I just don't go to that area. I've told y'all one of mine, this singing. It's one of those skeletons in my Christian closet. My Christian closet's over there. And there's some vocal cords, and I just leave them there. I'm like, nope. I'll yell from the back and let the pros take the reins. That's one of mine. What's yours? Could be lots of things. If there's something standing in between you and your service to God, get after it. Like just stop the nonsense and get after it. Just face it. Ask for help. Is there something standing between you becoming a Christian? What is it? Purpose to study that topic. Purpose to ask someone. Purpose to pray about it. Get after it. This is the time. Resolve to become closer to the brethren. I thought what we did, it's funny, what we did the other night, Sarah and I, on the way home, we said, I got to figure out how much that was. And I think she said it was like $100. She was like, if we split that amongst the people that were there, everybody would have paid $1. I was like, yeah, we need to do that more often. That's coming. Become closer to the brethren. I thought that was so fun. I mean, you would not believe. There are people here that did not know that I could make different accents. I'm shocked. I thought that everybody in this congregation knew that. There are people that didn't know I could shoot a basketball. I'm offended now. Y'all thought I could just kick the thing. Throwing it's a whole lot easier than kicking it, let me tell you. You get to use your arms. That's like easy. There are lots of things that we don't know about each other, and we get in a different environment, and we start to fellowship, and we just learn that, wow, there's people that know a lot of songs from the 60s. Like, wow, cool. I didn't know that. We need to make more of an effort to get to know the brethren, especially as things are, I know things are still, it's like still a bit sketchy. Things are forever going to be sketchy with COVID. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. So I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just simply saying that I don't think illness is going to go away. Cancer certainly not going away. Colds have not gone away. Flu's not going away. Lots of things haven't gone away. I hope the love for the brethren isn't one of the things that's going to go away. And resolve to get to know non-Christians better. There may be people that you work with, that you shop with, that you know, friends that are not Christians, that maybe you could be more of a light to. Maybe you could do a better job of being a Christian and being a light around them, a beacon, a bright beacon. There might be some that don't know you're a Christian at all. This is the year to let them know. You know, you don't have to go whack them over the head with a Bible. Here you go. Merry Christmas. Sorry it's a little late. That's not what I'm talking about. Just be you. Be who you are. Be kind to people. Don't bribe them, as we talked about this morning. But hey, is there anything I can pray about for you? Add some salt to these people's lives. Because let me tell you, as you know, if you've not been a Christian, if you've lived at all in this life as an adult, not being a Christian, then you know that this world is absolutely dreadful to live in. Every day. Dreadful. Make life a little bit better for those people that aren't Christians. And Lord willing, they will become Christians. So a few resolutions sound simplistic. They're supposed to be. We don't want them to be too complicated. But I think that if they get done, they go a long way. Life is like a vapor. Time is running out. As we've made note, think about your life. Where were you 10 years ago? Everyone's doing the 10-year challenge on social media. It's like 10 years. That seems, you know, that's a long time. Seems like that's no time at all. A year is a long time. 365 days? How many actions do you make in a day? How many choices do you make a day? I don't know, 50? Multiply that by 365. What's that figure? Multiply that by 10 years. What's that figure? That's just a decade worth of actions. Some of us have been, you know, making actions for 20, 30, 40 years. That's a lot of actions. Implement these things. Implement these things. I love this passage that Riley read in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Now is the time to grow as a Christian, and if you are not a Christian, now is the time to become a Christian. Today is the day of salvation, if you choose it to be. If you would like to be baptized, if you would like to obey the gospel, don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and as we sing.